Back, Abe was having difficulty with the steep ascent, slipping and falling twice in the rutted blanket of white. Suddenly, Trader was there, standing 6 feet away, panting with the effort of the climb, nodding as his eyes ranged over the two men. Finally, he broke into something close to a smile.
Ryan Carter and J.B. Dix. Never thought to meet up with you again.
The men clasped hands, Trader's grip as strong as ever. While they stood grinning at one another, Abe finally blundered over the crest. Ryan turned to him and patted him on the back.
You did well, Abe. Real well. Thanks.
Despite the cold and the exertion, the little man had a wide smile stretched across his face. Tiny icicles were crusted in his drooping mustache, making him look like a lugubrious walrus. Trader simply stood there nodding.
Well, I'll be hung, quartered, and dried for the crows. This truly is something.
Ain't it just? We heard you'd been having some trouble.
Causing trouble, JB. Causing trouble. Man who admits to having some trouble is in real trouble.
Well, if that wasn't real trouble we had a few days ago, Trader, then I sure as shit don't ever want to find myself in real trouble.
The older man turned sharply, the smile disappearing like dew off a summer meadow.
I told you, Abe. Told you before about arguing.
Yeah, sure, sorry.
It was a prickly moment, and Ryan hurried to pass it over.
Listen, we got a lot of catching up to do. We could use a roof and some food. Any ideas?
Trader glanced toward the distant ruins of the sprawling city.
Probably our best chance is to scout around the suburbs.
Yeah, agreed.
Skirmish line. Abe, take point. I'll go second. JB, follow me. And Ryan, bring up the rear guard. Let's go, men.
The armorer glanced across at Ryan, who shrugged. It wasn't that much of a surprise that the trader had automatically assumed command of them, just as though no time had passed. No sand ran through the glass. No water flowed beneath the bridge. Just as though he were still leading the full, highly trained crews of the two war wags. They dropped down into a wide valley, following the path of an old blacktop. Abe twice managed to lead them into regions of swampy ground, where they all broke through thin ice into rank, stinking water. They saw a solitary figure, accompanied by a dog, watching them from the hogback ridge to their left. Apart from that, their first hours together were uneventful, no threats from any kind of life. The men stopped for a brief break after the first hour of steady walking.
Any muties in these parts, Trader?
Haven't got a sniff of any. How about you?
Yeah, way back.
Trader stopped suddenly.
Hey, what is it?
Ryan caught up, drawing the Sig Sauer, suspecting the trader might have seen some danger. In front of them, Abe turned so quickly he slipped on an iced puddle and nearly fell over.
No danger, Ryan. Stand down from Double Red and relax a little. It's just that I realized I never asked you where you were when you got the message.
Down in New Mexico on the ranch of a friend. Christy Roth is there. Remember her?
Hair that was so hot it scorched your eyeballs? Of course I remember her.
And the old-timer, Doc Tanner. He got himself time-trawled with Operation Kronos.
Ryan holstered his gun.
Kronos?
Sure. It was a section of over Project Whisper. Cerberus was a bit of that. That lethal fog?
Yeah, sure. All bits of that fucking cosmic puzzle they call the totality concept. Abier's been telling me plenty of that.
Yeah, sure. Brought him up to date.
Abe grinned eagerly and wiped moisture off his mustache.
How did the message get through to you? You get several copies of it?
Just one.
I bet it was that big black guy with one ear missing.
Nah, a littleville called Patriarch Springs, or something like that. Drummer was called Friedman. Smoked the foulest cigars I ever smelled.
Aw, damn it. He was about the last we asked to carry the message to you, Ryan. And he did it.
What'd you pay these Pac-Men?
Pay? You've been away from the war wags too long, Armorer. Trader doesn't pay for what he can trade.
So what did you trade?
Their lives, Ryan. All of them. I told them I'd come down and pull their lungs out of their asses if they didn't do like they'd been asked.
So, how are things back down in the Southwest? How's Jake and...
Button that up, Gunner. First thing is shelter, then food, and then fire. After that, we can spend the whole night talking about where we've been and what we've been doing.
Ryan glanced behind him, checking that the figure with the dog on the ridge hadn't reappeared. But the land was still deserted, the watery sun glinting off the snow. They were on what looked like an old blacktop that had been superseded sometime in the late 1900s by a wide elevated interstate. The newer highway had collapsed, its piers and bridges tumbling in the quakes that rumbled the land during the long winters. But the ancient lost road remained. It writhed over the wooded country like a dog trying to rid itself of fleas, but it made for easier walking than the muddy, freezing trails they'd begun on. The skirmish line reasserted itself, with Abe leading, followed by Trader, Ryan, and JB. The skinny ex-gunner held up a hand, two fingers extended, and pointed ahead to the right.
Company. Couple of strangers.
Then Ryan saw them. Less than a quarter mile away were two men, well-wrapped in wolfskin coats and muffling scarves. Each carried what looked like hunting rifles. Trader gestured with his armalite, beckoning Ryan to one side of him, JB to the other, not noticing that they were already moving. Abe fell back to join the other three. The pair was within 80 paces when they stopped, both holding up a hand in a gesture of peace.
Hi there!
Ryan realized they were both quite young, probably in their early teens.
Hi!
Trader held his beloved armalite at his right hip, the barrel pointing in the general direction of the young men.
You come far?
Trader hitched a thumb toward the eastern horizon.
Been hunting back yonder.
Seen anyone?
Fellow with a dog on the ridge. Hour or so, I reckon.
Ah, that'd be our pa. Went out after breakfast with old Bess, finest coon dog in the Deathlands. We figured to maybe join up with him this afternoon.
You live around here?
Small horse ranch, 3 miles west and then north off a spur trail.
The other youth laid a hand on his brother's sleeve, as if he were warning him about speaking too openly to the quartet of outlanders.
How far from here to the skirts of Seattle?
Reach him by sunset, if you want to. Not many wants to go that close to the cannies and ghoulies living there.
Cannibals?
So they say.
It wasn't any surprise. The sprawling, nuked ruins of virtually every major American conurbation were a breeding ground for every kind of mutation and social perversion. Ryan suddenly felt the short hairs rising on his nape. Something didn't set quite right here. The body language of the two youths was just that fraction out of kilter, a tenseness above and beyond meeting the potentially hazardous situation of four strangers on a snowy highway. As if they were waiting for something. Or someone.
You'd be welcome to stay the night at our place, if you don't take to the skirt of the ville. Have to be one of the barns, but it'd beat a lot of other places at a frosty time.
Real kind of you.
Trader leveled the rifle at the taller of the strangers and shot him through the chest.
Ambush!
A heartbeat after the sharp crack of the armalite, Ryan heard the boom of a black powder musket. But by then, he was already moving, diving to his left. He felt the hot breath of buckshot close by his cheek. Out of the corner of his eye, he watched as the teenager shot by Trader took a few staggering steps backward, slipped on the frosty ground, and went down on his back, sliding and leaving a smear of bright blood on the ice. The second youth was alert enough to snap off a return shot at Trader, but not quick enough to allow for the speed of the gaunt figure. The bullet went a good yard wide. JB had been ready for the attack as well, but he skidded as he moved to his right, falling badly and knocking the Uzi out of his grasp. Abe was slowest to react, but he rolled forward, coming up in a crouch, realizing that nobody was actually shooting at him. He took his time with his Magnum and carefully placed a .357 bullet into the small of the back of the standing teenager. Ah! The powerful round exiting a handbreadth above the left hip, and a fountain of dark blood and ribbons of torn flesh. The youth's arms were thrown wide, his gun spinning from his fingers into the frozen ditch at the side of the old highway. Trader swiveled around to peer in the direction that the ambush had come from.
Someone's behind us.
He's mine.
The shot had barely missed Ryan, and it had given him a good idea of the angle. An antique billboard stood 20 yards away, with a pile of rubble behind it. Ryan's combat instincts told him that the attack had come from there. He scuttled sideways, the Sig Sauer in his right hand, keeping low. His guess was a single-shot musket of some sort. The plan behind the ambush was to blow him away while the other two opened up with their rifles. If it had worked, it was likely that all four of them would have been down and done for. But Trader had gotten there first and fastest. As he left the blacktop, Ryan heard the sound of hasty movement ahead of him in the shadows behind the wreckage of the billboard. He glimpsed a dark shape and snapped off a quick shot at it, seeing a burst of icy mud just to the left. He adjusted his aim and had better luck this time. But two shots that rang out